Folks, and welcome to the Neo Gamer Gaming Podcast. This is episode 18. It is Tuesday, May the 8th. I'm John Callahan, and with me, as always, is Larry Cooney. How you doing, Larry?
Good, John. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
And of course, from our folks over in Australia, Tim, who is handling both our audio and video streaming. Tim, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Nothing much has been happening this week, but happy to be doing another podcast.
Yes, so am I. We're now only 4 weeks away from E3 2012, believe it or not. And I was just telling Larry and Tim before we went live that I am up to my neck in getting prepared for E3 in terms of getting appointments, in terms of setting up invites to press conferences and getting some pre-E3 interviews done so I can have them ready to go before the E3 starts. So, but like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and this is like a very different type of thing. So anyway, I thought we start by talking a rather interesting start we talk about story interesting story that hit the internet last week and actually became official on Monday. Microsoft's retail stores, the like 18 or so Microsoft stores they have open in the U.S., have a special deal that you can get a Xbox 360, 4 GB hard drive, and a Kinetic add-on device for just $99. The catch is that you also have to sign a 2-year contract, and that 2-year contract includes Xbox Live Gold for $14.95 a month. And well, I have lots to say about this, but I want to hear what you think, Larry, because I know you probably have some interesting thoughts about this as well.
Yeah, I mean, people have done the math on forums, and I think it was that website, The Verge, that first reported it. They did the math as well. And I think it
Yeah.
only winds up costing, an extra $48 or something along those lines. But still, for some
Less than that,
reason,
really.
really.
Yeah, it's less than that, really. I mean, if you get a good deal on a Xbox Live 12-month subscription, it could be even less than that. It could probably go under go under $400,
Oh, yeah, absolutely, if you buy everything individually.
Whereas with this 2-year contract thing, it's $458.76 all told over 2 years. But it seems
Yeah,
pretty
that's just.
ridiculous to me. I mean, if you're a smart shopper, there is no way you would go for this deal at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, and
Yeah, and that's
like I
kind
said,
of.
all you have to do is just go get an Xbox 360 and buy 2 12-month cards, and you're saving a ton of money, compared to this deal. And there should be no reason to get this.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of my biggest things with it. They're Hello.
Oh, do we just
Hey,
lose Larry? Nope.
did we lose you, Larry?
I don't think so. Am I here?
Yeah,
Yes,
nope.
you're here.
Just
I hear you.
something strange.
Okay, sorry about that. A little
All
technical
right.
difficulties. But yeah, what I was saying is that's kind of my biggest beef with it is they're actually, in my opinion, kind of taking advantage of people. Because really,
Yeah.
the only people that would buy this are dumb shoppers and people that are probably tight, pretty tight off financially. So to me,
Yeah.
it's kind of I don't want to use the word scumbag because it's pretty harsh, but it is a kind of shady move on, Microsoft's part. And I get it, they're going to probably sell more consoles as a result, and maybe some people who wouldn't have had the Xbox otherwise will now have it. And I guess that's a positive from it. But at the same time, if they didn't have the Xbox by now, there's probably a reason they didn't. They're probably spending their money on things that are a little more important in life. So yeah, just not a big fan of it overall. And as we were talking before we went live too, it's a smartphone model. It just doesn't translate to consoles.
I this the smartphone model, I mean, I can somewhat understand the smartphone model, in terms of paying things over 2 years or so, because you know for a smartphone is a very sophisticated piece of technology, and not to say the Xbox 360 isn't either, but you also have to consider the fact that you're paying for not just for the phone, but you're also paying for the service, and that means
the network,
you have to pay for the network, you know, either Sprint or T-Mobile or whatever it is here in the U.S. or whatever it is in Australia. You know, you have to pay for that, and you know, and they subsidize that by bringing phones down for as low as possible, and that doesn't really when you get a Microsoft Xbox 360 with this service. You're not really paying for you're paying for the Xbox Live service, sure, but the actual connection to connect to the internet to play it, you're paying for that still, you know.
Yeah.
you're paying for that internet connection on your own, and yeah. The only reason to get the Xbox Live Gold service is to get things like multiplayer play and things like, you know, the media apps that are coming out with and things like that. So I just. It just amazes me. Whereas with the smartphone, you're paying for the phone and you're paying for the service, both. And that's not the case here. You're paying for the Xbox 360 and you're paying for the Xbox Live Gold service, which you really don't need necessarily. If you don't care about multiplayer gaming, if you just want to play single player games and things like that, then you don't need Xbox Live Gold.
And then it's cheaper.
And I know that, and it's cheaper. So, I. Yeah, this is horrible. I'm kind of disgusted with Microsoft on this, and I really hope this is obviously a kind of a trial project because they're only selling in Microsoft stores and only a few stores like that open in the United States. But if it's successful in any way, I can definitely see Microsoft going to retailers like Walmart or GameStop or stuff like that and saying, "You can do it. We'll let you sell it with this kind of business model." And I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim?
It's just a terrible deal in every possible way. I mean, I mean, if I was in a Microsoft store and someone was, you know, thinking about getting this, I would probably like jump out and scream at them, "No, don't do that." Because yeah, it just surprises me just a lot. I mean, if for example it turned out to be cheaper than buying, you know, an Xbox console and, you know, the Live for 2 years, that would be awesome, you know, a really good deal, but it's just not. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. But anyway, it's weird that they would do that sort of project. And again, I think this is just like a trial period, and hopefully, I'm hoping that the sales will not be enough for Microsoft to expand this to further areas. The only way I would think this would be a good deal is if Microsoft said, "If you get this deal, we'll hook you up with our next generation Xbox for free at the end of, and you can upgrade for free." That I might go for, but there's no indication of that's going to happen at all.
Yeah, and it's not.
No, yeah.
This isn't even the top line deal. You're only getting 4 gig console here. There's no, you know, it's not like a massive hard drive or anything to store your games. So, yeah, it's still just a bad, bad, bad deal.
You are getting Kinect though, so I guess that counterbalances it. I figure the reason that they're not giving people a hard drive is the people that are buying it won't be able to afford to put games on the hard drive anyway. So, It's a classless move. To me, it's a last-ditch desperation. They know they're at the end of the line with the consoles generation. Everyone's already talking about, you know, the next Xboxes, the next PlayStations. So, to me, it's kind of just their last-ditch attempt of, hey, let's really try to make as much money as possible off this current generation before everyone completely forgets about it. Because I think we are pretty much near a point where people are going to not buy a console right now waiting for the next ones, you know? So
we're there now. I think with the sales of Xbox 360s, of everybody just plummeting in the first 3 months of this year. And of course, we'll probably get some more information about sales in the U.S. sometime next week from NPD. And I suspect that those sales will be really down too. You know, I mean, people are already waiting for the next generation consoles right now. They are not willing to spend any money on a new Xbox 360 or PS3 unless the price goes down. And I guess this is Microsoft's roundabout way of lowering the price of the Xbox 360. You know, but I really think they should just go ahead and bite the bullet and lower it to $99 and forget this, you know, 2-year contract deal.
Well, that's what's even more messed up. That's going to happen. I guarantee you that will happen, but it will be like another year. But they will lower it to 99, and that's just, it's almost typical Microsoft. Their pricing has always been way off. Like, if you just look when they first released the consoles, just the hard drives alone. Remember, like, what the standalone hard drive was going for when they, like, first released it? It was ridiculous, and they finally lowered it. It's how they've always kind of treated pricing in the consoles. It's almost like they want to see how much they could get away with, and they're fine with that business model, and hey, it's actually worked for them this far, so I don't think they're going to change it anytime soon, you know, unless this is a total flop, which I think we're probably all in agreement. It would maybe probably be a good thing if it is, so.
Yeah, and what you're saying on the prices, it's even worse here. Like, everything is just so much more expensive, so I'm kind of glad this deal isn't coming over here so people don't get an even worse deal than they might get it in a store.
Yeah. It's a horrible idea. I think we're all agree with that. Yeah, yeah, but you know, there was actually some news about that Microsoft is going to concentrate more on Xbox 360 services at their E3 2012 press conference and not so much on the games. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's really news or not, because Microsoft has always announced new Xbox 360 services at their E3 press conference. This is nothing new. You know, they've always said, at the last press conference, they said, we're bringing YouTube to Xbox Live, and we're bringing all these media things to Xbox Live and things like that. You know, I think a couple years ago, they announced they were bringing Facebook and things like that. This is nothing new. You know, I think that we'll still see a lot of game announcements at E3. They would almost have to. But I wouldn't be surprised if we heard more about, you know, the fact that we'll probably hear more media things on this kind of announcement. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, we're only 4 weeks away, so we'll definitely learn more then. There are some other kind of major news that popped up this week. One of them was an announcement of a game that a lot of people are probably going to be very interested in, Elder Scrolls Online. And that is the MMO project that Bethesda Softworks has been working on for a number of years. They actually launched their own in-house MMO studio, ZeniMax Online Studios, I think way back in 2006. I think they actually established it that long ago, and they're only just announcing the game now. And from what I can tell, from what information I've been able to glean from the one article that's been released about it, which was from the Game Informer print magazine, it sounds like it's going to be a solid mix of the single player experience along with the group dungeon raids and also player versus player battles. So it sounds like it's going to be a fairly well-rounded MMO in terms of features, but I've already heard some people say that they're disappointed in the game. They wanted more out of it, but I don't know. I think it's just way too early to write up a verdict on this. But first of all, do you think that this is a good idea to expand the Elder Scrolls franchise into the MMO space?
Well, no. Not for me, but I was actually reading Tyler's editorial here on NeoGamer, and he does put it quite well. He basically says, you know, don't write it off yet. You know, Bethesda will probably do a really good job with this, and you know, it'll probably come out to be really good. So while my initial thoughts is, oh my god, this is going to be terrible, I think that I should probably wait and actually see rather than judging it so early. So. Yeah, my thoughts.
What's interesting is, you know, I've gone on the record. I'm not a big MMO player or anything like that. But when when I've heard the rumor way back when and now just hearing the verification, to me it actually sounds like it makes complete sense, because the world itself is such a fleshed out world, and out of any like first person shooter games recently, because at the end of the day they are FPSs, you know, I think they have the most well-rounded universes, so to speak. So I don't know, it kind of seems like a natural extension to me, and I would think people would be pretty psyched about it. And you know, again, I probably won't play it myself, but if I were into MMOs, I would be pretty excited about it. I think it makes complete sense. I don't know.
Oh, I agree. I think it makes complete sense to make a game out of this franchise. I mean, it's practically an MMO without, you know, anybody there. It's the open world environments in the previous games, you know, Morrowind, Oblivion, and now Skyrim, feel like an MMO game. You just don't have any other human players around. And right. I think it's natural to bring it to the MMO space. And let's not forget the fact that the Elder Scrolls franchise is a hugely popular franchise. It sold several million copies of Skyrim alone, you know, last year. I think it was like the second most, you know, it was one of the top 10, if not the top 5, best-selling games of 2011. You know, so it's a huge franchise. And I would, you know, everyone was saying, you know, when World of Warcraft was first announced so many, many years ago, people were saying, how could they expand the Warcraft franchise, that RTS franchise, into the MMO space? And they did it very well. And part of the reason was that people knew this whole universe that Blizzard had created. And, but, you know, a lot of people know this whole universe that Bethesda Softworks has created. My one concern about this game is that, you know, Todd Howard is the man who has been, you know, basically the leader of this of the Elder Scrolls franchise for many, many years. And my point, I just wonder how much input he will have in Elder Scrolls Online, because I would think he would hopefully would have at least some kind of input into the game, and I haven't really heard that yet. So
yeah. Well, I think my biggest problem is not the game itself. Like, I'm sure the game will be good, but I just hope that they don't, you know, alienate the single player users, you know, of the previous, you know, all the games in the series, which were so good, and I enjoyed them, you know, so much that a part of me just wants to make sure that they don't, you know, skimp on the releases for future single player games, or maybe, you know, focus too much on the MMO, that they don't release quality single player games. So not really sure. Do they have two development studios working on this? I think
ZeniMax Online Studios is the team that's making Elder Scrolls Online. They also have Bethesda Studios, which makes the single player games like Skyrim. And that's the team. So Bethesda has two different teams. I think they kind of live in this. I think they both are basically in the same building, if not fairly close, in Maryland. So I'm sure that there's probably going to be some kind of interaction between those two. I would hope so. I just haven't heard that yet. And I that's one of the things I'm sure that. But Bethesda will show the game at E3. That's one of the things I'm going to ask is Todd Howard and other members of the Skyrim team going to have some input in how Elder Scrolls Online is developed, at least in terms of their single player experiences.
Yeah, it won't get me to play MMOs though. I probably won't. I might check it out, but I don't think I'll play it heaps. I'm just not a fan of that genre.
And my other question is, if Elder Scrolls Online turns out to be hit, what does that mean to the Elder Scrolls franchise for the single player game?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was wondering. Yeah,
Is that done, or is that team just going to move on to other stuff? I don't know. We'll see. It's a lot of unanswered questions. Hopefully we'll be able to get some of those at E3. The game is actually going to be coming out for both PC and Mac in 2013, so it's actually, if they keep through their schedule, it's actually going to come out fairly soon. But again, they've been working on this game for a long time, supposedly, so I would hope it's probably going to be fairly close to completion by now. So we'll see what happens. It's certainly was one of the number one topics on our site. So we'll definitely see how that goes. Some other news popped up. THQ had some announcements this week. One of them actually was the fact that they aren't going to have a big, huge booth at E3 2012 this year. This is one of the major game publishers, a publicly traded company, and they're basically going to be confining their E3 presentation to a couple of meeting rooms rather than just go all out on a big, huge booth. And I just want to say right quick, you know, being E3 veteran since 1997, I know from experience, THQ also hired like the most booth babes of any game publisher. I mean, I think last year they had something like 15 to 20, and I don't think I'm exaggerating about that.
Maybe they blew all their budget on them.
It's possible. So if they're not going to have a big booth this year, that means my E3 booth babe gal is going to be severely reduced. So anyway, oh well, not as many hits. So we'll see what happens. But all kidding aside, they've got quite a few games they're coming out with in 2012 and also in 2013. One of the games that I'm actually looking forward to was just officially announced this week, Company of Heroes 2. How many of you guys have played the Company of Heroes franchise from Relic?
Yeah, I actually have.
Never for me.
It's never for you. It's basically a PC. It's basically a game, Tim, but it's basically a World War II RTS game. It's a well done strategy game. You know, with lots of destructible environments and well done design. Great looking game. So I'm very glad that THQ is going to continue this franchise with a sequel. I hope that their financial situation will allow them to release the game before it's scheduled release in 2013. So
yeah, I mean, I think I've gone on the record that I'm not a big fan of RTSs either, but it's actually one I did play because it's that well done, I think.
Yep. And they tried to launch a free-to-play version of Company of Heroes Online in 2010, but that actually didn't work out, and THQ actually shut that thing down in March of 2011. So this is going to be a regular RTS game with no persistent elements to it. So, and it's supposed to concentrate on the Eastern Front rather than, you know, the invasion of Europe. So you get to play, as Nazis and Soviet Union communists. So that'll be fun.
Oh yeah, that's nice. So, I always wondered why they didn't let people be Nazis more.
So anyway, so that'll be cool. EA actually had some interesting announcements. We're going to be getting a new Need for Speed game at the end of this year. They confirmed that. No details about that as of yet. I wasn't a fan of the last game, Need for Speed The Run. I thought that was just... I don't know what happened there.
I loved it. I beat it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I don't know. I thought they did a good job of bringing back the old arcade one, but still sticking to what they introduced with Shift. Is that what it was named? Shift, the one that was like more serious, trying to kind of be like Dirt. I don't know.
That's right.
I thought it just had a nice combination of still arcadey, but not super arcadey like Need for Speed was known for. I don't know. I got into it. I think I wound up beating it in like 2 weekends or something. I just really got into it. Yeah, the one annoying thing was, I'll admit, is if you drifted like even slightly off the track at times, they would consider it that you were out of bounds, and that got slightly annoying. But in a way, that kind of made it like you just had to drive even that much more perfect. So I don't know. I didn't hate it. I know a lot of people. I remember there was a thread on the forums on Neowin, and it was like either people loved it or hated it. There was like no in between. So I could see how people could hate it because it definitely was a departure. Yeah.
It definitely was a departure, but it was an unwelcome departure for me. I don't mind story-based games per se in combination with racing games, but I just felt like the story was just not very compelling. It was basically the Cannonball Run, I just didn't feel like the racing mechanics were very good. I didn't think the graphics were all that great. They were supposed to use the Frostbite engine, which was used in Battlefield 3, but I don't know what this game didn't look anything like Battlefield 3.
Nah.
I don't know what happened to the art style or anything. It just didn't work out for me.
To comment about the story, it all I'll say is it had a story, because yeah. I didn't pay one bit of attention. I skipped every single cutscene. You know, like. The story was really awful. It was exactly as you said, Cannonball Run, but a modern version with really unlikable characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Need for Speed stories have always been bad, though. I mean
yeah, the stories?
Yeah, the stories have been bad. It's sort of like a tack on. It's all about the gameplay, but to be honest, I haven't liked a Need for Speed since probably either the original Most Wanted or even before that with like Underground 2 or something. I just think all the games have been a bit subpar, you know, considering great games out there like Grid and Dirt from Codemasters. Yeah, it's just not as good these days.
I would agree that Codemasters makes some great racing games. Definitely,
they are more cool serious games.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are more of a sim game. I actually quite like the Criterion A Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I really enjoy that. Of course, I like all of Criterion's games mostly. I really think they've got a good head when it comes to making arcadey racing games.
Yeah, they did Burnout, didn't they? They were
They did the Burnout. That's what they're known for mostly, is the Burnout. I played the heck out of the Burnout games too, including Burnout Paradise. I really enjoyed those games.
Yeah.
I hope we were, you know, they. Matter of fact, I downloaded that. Xbox Live Arcade game, which is all about the crash mode.
Yeah,
I
Burnout
really enjoyed
Crash.
That too. Burnout Crash. Yep. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
I had a blast with that. But I really would like to see a new Burnout game at some point. But like I said, Need for Speed the Run was a bit of a downturn after really enjoying Hot Pursuit. So
you know
we'll see what happens with this game.
I should maybe add, I do play most of my racing games with a racing wheel. I have like a...
Oh, do you really?
Cool. Yeah, like a Logitech or whatever. And
really?
Yeah, I think that definitely really helps the experience. So maybe that's why I'm more... Maybe that's why I like racing games easier, because I think it is a completely different experience. And honestly, having the racing wheel in the game, since it wasn't so serious... It kind of was like having an arcade cabinet in my home, and maybe that's why I like it so much. Yeah, you know.
Also, just
that makes sense.
I seem to find racing games really easy. Like, just especially the Need for Speed ones where they don't have like a adjustable difficulty. I always seem to win it by miles. Like,
really?
Really,
I tend to win it by miles early, and then it takes me a little more effort to get to win races with those kinds of games.
Yeah.
As it moves on.
The last racing game I played was probably Dirt, or not Dirt, one of the games like that, like a more simulator one, and I had to play that on manual. Like, I played that to actually have, like, a decent difficulty. Oh, it was Forza 4. I played Forza 4 on...
Forza 4, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I played that on manual with clutch, because it was too easy without having to do that.
You know what, really? Though? I will totally agree with you. That was such an easy game, it wasn't even funny. Like, if just leaving it on the regular difficulty, I literally did, like, the first 25 races in a row and got first. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I was like, is this game really this easy? So, yeah, I guess, I don't know. I agree with you there. Some of them are. With that said, I don't think The Run was that one of those games. It was pretty... Because of the what I mentioned with the like what they considered fouls and going off the tracks, it was pretty damn hard. It got to the point where you almost had to ride a perfect race on certain ones, and it didn't even matter if you weren't first. If you went off the track, they considered that a foul. So it got kind of hard. It did.
Yeah, I didn't actually play Forza 4, but I'll take your word for it. So
yeah, bump up the difficulty. That's Also, you get more money for doing it, so sort of a win-win.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, just a quick thing. They also announced. They also kind of revealed that there's a new Dead Space game in the works that's going to be coming out in the first quarter of 2013.
Yes.
Are you a big fan of Dead Space? Do you like those games?
Yeah, the first two were amazing. Best horror games ever made, in my opinion.
I liked the first one. I wasn't a huge fan, but I liked the first one. I really liked Dead Space 2. I thought they took the lessons of the first and took it to a whole new level. So I really enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to. I'm sure we'll hear more about that at E3 too. So I've got my E3 press event invite already. Nice. we're good to go with that. There's some other news that popped up this week. There's actually quite a few Kickstarter games that made their funding. One was called Necro, which was a fantasy action game that's being made by people who were a new team, which has some people from Microsoft and Blizzard and people like that. That got funded, completed its funding. Another game that completed its funding was Grim Dawn from Cray Entertainment. That's another fantasy action RPG game. I've actually contacted the folks over at Crate over the years, and I know that they must be happy that they've got their funding so they can complete their game. And finally, Jane Jensen's the lady who created the Gabriel Knight adventure games, her adventure game, which has the codename Mopius, got its $300,000 funding. So all those got funded by Kickstarter. So we're seeing just a ton of both small and major games getting these boosts via Kickstarter. So I think that's terrific. And I just found out, I don't know if you guys, have you ever played the Carmageddon games?
Yeah. Sounds familiar, maybe.
They were like the PC version of Twisted Metal almost, right?
Except you ran over people. and body parts flayed around over the place. So this Stainless Games had announced several months ago they're going to make a new Carmageddon game. And I think they just launched their Kickstarter campaign today. I haven't actually reported on NeoGamer yet, but I probably will tomorrow. But they've launched their Kickstarter game for Carmageddon. So I'll probably get in contact with them to find out more about that. So there's going to be some interesting I'm just amazed at how many cool games are going to be coming out over the next 12 to 18 months that wouldn't normally be, coming out weren't for the fact that people just stepped up and donated their money to this crowdsourcing efforts. So
yeah,
thumbs up to that. I mean, there are some people were saying, is the Kickstarter bubble going to burst? And I'm sure it will, but that still doesn't stop the fact that we're going to have a bunch of games that are going to be coming out that wouldn't have been funded without Kickstarter. Even if it stops tomorrow, I think it's been worth it.
I don't think it's going to stop that soon. I think when it potentially could stop is when all these games will get released, and if they didn't pay off, then people will start thinking twice. But until there's actual games to judge, I'm not sure how it can stop.
I tend to agree with you that there's going to be a lot more pressure on the developers to make a great game, but I think that's actually a good thing. I think there should be pressure on developers to make a good game, as good of a game as they can possibly make it. So they shouldn't have to, I think that puts if you have a publisher, publishing a game and fronting up the money, there may be actually a little bit less pressure because, hey, it's the publisher's money, it's not our money. Whereas you have all these people funding your money, it's like, oh, we have all these thousands of people backing us. We have to make it a good game now. So I think that kind of changes things. I think we'll try to end this again a little bit early, but I wanted to quickly talk quickly about upcoming games. Next week is going to be a huge game week for several reasons. For the term of Diablo 3 and Max Payne 3. Yep. I don't know. I know that Tim is really looking forward to playing Max Payne 3.
Yeah, if I can get in contact with Rockstar, they're being a bit hard there, but I'll try. I'll try to get a review copy, but even if I don't, it's going to be a great game, so I'll get it anyway.
It's my most anticipated game of the year right now, and
okay.
I have it pre-ordered. It will be here. I cannot wait to play.
Yep.
And speaking Rockstar just updated that social club website of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They updated it today, and tomorrow they're going to bring the update that introduces the whole cruise feature. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you could start a crew, apparently, and it's going to like carry over into all their games. So
wow.
Yeah, cool. But there's it's almost like having a clan, but instead they're calling it a crew, and it apparently is going to carry over to all of Rockstar games. I'm curious to see how that pans out. So
you'll be able to create a crew for Max Payne 3, and you'll be able to potentially push it into Grand Theft Auto 5 in theory.
Yep, that's exactly what they're saying. Yeah, it's kind of cool, I think.
Interesting. I would like to see how that works.
yeah, me too. So there's I know there's a thread on the forums in the Sony section for people that are going to be getting Max Payne 3 on the PS3. We're looking to start a crew already. So if any listeners are listening and you're getting Max Payne for the PS3, please share your name in that thread and we'll start the new NeoGamer Max Payne crew.
Yep. Yeah, cool.
Then I just need one for the Xbox as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be easy to start. There's a decent amount of people on the 360 on Newland, so that should be pretty easy.
And as I said, the other big game coming out is Diablo 3. I'll be playing that. I can just tell you that much right now. I might not show up for the podcast next week because I'll probably be deep in playing that game. But I'll be here. No, I'll take my I'll come up for Aaron and do the podcast. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's certainly taken a long, long time to get that game out, and I actually think that Blizzard, for all the moaning and groaning that I did about them taking, delaying the game for several months, I really am hoping that the game will be very good. So so we'll see what happens. Some other games coming out next week. Game of Thrones, which is based on George R.R. Martin's fantasy book series, an RPG is coming out for the PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. Not sure how good that's going to be honest. We'll see about that. It's being developed by Cyanide, which has made a number of games in the past, but we'll see how they were able to translate. I don't think we're going to get anything like, a Skyrim or a Witcher 2 or anything like that, but that's just me.
maybe it'll be a pleasant surprise like the Walking Dead game.
Possibly. Yeah. And there's, of course, we have Activision's coming out with their Battleship movie tie-in. Least said about that, the better, I think.
Oh, wow. That is such a travesty is the only word I could use for that. I mean, is that seriously based on the video game You Sunk My Battleship? I mean, how is that based on that their game? It blows my mind.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
So I guess that's about it for next week.
Starhawk is out for the PS3 as of today, and it's getting really good reviews, actually. Very, very good reviews.
I'm not surprised, because I really enjoyed Warhawk, and I am hopefully I'll get a chance to play some Starhawk very soon.
Yeah, I have it coming from Gamefly. I'm renting it, so maybe I'll even have some impressions next week, hopefully.
Super.
Nice.
Super. So it's going to be a pretty busy week for I think all of us in terms of new games coming out next week, and so we should have a lot to talk about. But until then, thank you for those of you who have joined us live on our streaming podcast, and also thanks to all of you who are listening to our recorded podcast. We will be posting up our Tim will be posting up our recorded podcast once again soon after this. The streaming broadcast is done with. And like I said, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about next week, and I'm going to be too tired to talk in places because I have a lot of E3 preparations to do.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's that time of year. So but until then, this is John Callahan signing off for Larry and Tim. Thank you for joining us. And we will be back next week with another edition of the Neo Gamer Podcast. Until then, see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.